what they're doing, there's a term called creating a gap. And they're creating a gap from where you are to where you want to be. And the solution to bridge that gap is their medication.
I started going to the gym. That's how I made the biggest physical changes in my life. But at the same time, I started doing intermittent fasting. And when you think about a question I post to everyone listening is, when would you say your energy begins to wane throughout the day? When does it start to dissipate?
And I think all of these things scream self-awareness to me. Most people talk about or you know, complain, I would say is probably more accurate, on, you know, I don't have energy and I don't have time to be with my spouse. My kids are a pain, you know, work is crazy. Okay, great. Well, what are you going to do about it?
There's a phrase for those type of people that rob you of energy, right? Energy vampires, right? Where they just like, you know, just pull that right out of you, right?
Yeah.
And you hit it on the head because the people that are energy vampires, right? They drain it and you feel exhausted and tired and everything's harder. But then there's those other people, the energy amplifiers, perhaps, that can crank up that energy, that can bring that energy level up.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs. You are joined today by Mr. Andrew Biernat, Ben Albert, Christine Smith, and myself, Brandon Eastman. And we are joining you during your very important lunch break. We hope you're eating something good because we're about to share some information with you today, some strategies, information to help you to create more energy without burning out in your business, in your family life. And this topic was picked by you. Each month we do one of these Lunch Break ABC episodes. This is episode number 5, which blows my mind. And the topic is picked by you. So make sure you keep an eye out for the polls that one of us post each month. We each share it and choose the topic that makes the most sense. But today's topic, guys, is energy. So the people out there want to know, how do we create more energy? Which we're going to get to. We got some time. Why do you think people want to create more energy? Why do you guys think it's such a hot topic to have more energy in your business and your life?
Constantly running out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not an expert. This is one of those things. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an advisor. This is not energy advice. I have a couple ideas today, but I showed up for the same reason the listener did. I'm trying to figure this stuff out myself. I kind of want to pass it to Andrew because I know he has been in fitness. He was in the fitness industry for 10 years. So Andrew, kick us off maybe from like a fitness level, and then we can digress into different things that maybe aren't what we expected out of the conversation as well.
Sure, definitely. So I'm often accused as being one of the most energetic people that other people know. And some of that's personality and some of it's lifestyle, I believe. And some of it's a little bit mindset slash outlook, right? The way I see the world. So let's talk about the physical side. So I spent 8 years as a personal trainer, learned a ton about the human body. And one of the most interesting things I learned was the human body very much responds to the human mind. And when our mind's not in a great spot, our body will follow suit. So let's talk quickly about ways to get your body at its peak, get your body to its best so you have just natural energy coming from your body, okay? And you already know these. Drink a lot of water. Eat healthy foods. Show up and exercise on a regular basis. Do some strength training. Do some cardiovascular training. You need both. And that's really where it starts. Do those. If you're not doing those and you're having an energy problem, start there.
Hey, right? Can I stop you real quick? I just want to ask you because the very great advice. It can seem very confusing, the correlation between physical exertion and actually having more energy.
Sure.
Like when we talk about working out, I talk to my dad about working out all the time. He's like, my knees hurt, this hurts. And it's like, well, what if you went to the gym and got on like one of the cardio bikes, right? It doesn't hurt your knees. Ellipticals are great for the knees. And he's like, I just don't have the energy to get to the gym. But how is it that by actually going to the gym and working out, or even just walking in your house or doing like a YouTube workout, how is it that physical exertion can create more energy and clarity?
For sure. Yeah. Because when you exercise, you are spending energy. There is no doubt about that. In the short term, it is a net negative for you. It is not great. You end up tired. You end up sweaty, cranky, whatever else comes for you when you exercise, right? But what you're doing is your capacity building, right? Is you're building in the ability for your body to work at a higher level for a longer period of time. And you have the same type of capacity building in most areas of your life. You know, when it comes to sitting down and getting your work done, right? I remember I always think back to a project I worked on at my older sister's house. And my dad and I were doing this bathroom remodel. And we got there, and the first day we worked for like 4.5 hours. And man, I was like, ooh, that was a day. We put in some work, right? And the next day we worked for like 7 hours. I was like, oh man, we're making some progress here. Next day was like 9 hours. And the next day was like 11 hours. The next day was like 14 hours. And we finally got it done, right? But by the time we got to that 14-hour day, we were like, yeah, now we're really working. Like, you know, we finally hit like a better level of capacity. Our stomach for work had adjusted. If we had started with a 14-hour day, it would have been awful, right? But we built our way into it. And by the time we got done with it, we were moving. We were rolling. It didn't feel as much like a 14-hour day. So really, when you exercise, you're slowly building in capacity for energy. You're opening up the doors. You're opening up the potential. And that's another thing I want to probably see if we can all talk about together is talking about kind of your capacity or potential. Mm-hmm. Because at any given day, you may or may not be at your best. But I would challenge as many of you as I can to think, how many things do I need to go exactly right to be at my best energy level? Do I need to get X amount of sleep? Do I need to have this perfect workout? Do I need to have my relationships going perfect? Do I need to have just the right amount of water? Do I need to have my coffee today? Oh, don't talk to me without my coffee, right? What are you saying? I'm not at peak performance until I've had my coffee, right? What are those other barriers for you that are getting in the way of your peak performance? Because the longer the list is for you to be at your best, the less likely it is that you're going to be at your best. So I'll kind of stop there. I want to kind of hear from you guys.
Yeah. So I tell this all the time, but I used to be the fat kid like my whole life. And that directly correlated to having very, very low energy. And I remember some of the best advice I ever got was not directly given to me, but it was on a YouTube video. I watched a Tony Robbins video years and years and years ago. And he said, energy comes from two things, just two things alone, your physiology, what you're doing with your body, and what you think about, which he calls your internal representation, what you create as a picture in your mind. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's weird. But my first mentor, when I was looking to move up into leadership, he was like, Brandon, the first thing you need to do is start going to the gym. And I was like, how is that going to help me have more energy? And I started going. And like you said, in the short term, it's a deficit of energy. But over the course of the long term, it's a slow burn of energy in a good way. And you said something about how much energy do I need? A question I constantly ask myself to this day is, I look at my calendar for the upcoming day and I ask myself that exact question, Andrew, how much energy will I require in order to make it through this day? I remember I had an event. Usually the events I do are early in the morning, like Christine, when we did, you know, the Aflac event, it was like 8 a.m. to noon. But I had an event with Kyle Palmer, actually, that was later in the day. It was at 4:30 p.m. And that's after I've already eaten two meals. It's after most of the day has gone by. So I immediately said, okay, I'm going to have the energy to do this. So I structured my entire day around having the necessary energy to have that event. And I'll talk about like some things that I do in order to have more energy throughout the day. But the point I'm making is structure your day in a way that allows you to have the energy for the things that are most important for you. There are some days that I don't have a lot of quote unquote important things on my calendar, just a lot of operational things where I don't need the world's most amount of energy. But to your point, Andrew, there's one thing that has always been a constant. When I work out consistently and move my body intentionally each day, I have energy throughout that entire day. Yesterday, I did the elliptical for 45 minutes and I lift every other day and I do cardio on the off day. So I go to the gym every single day. And the energy I have as a result, especially after the cardio workouts, it's explosive energy throughout the entire day. Like literally at 9 p.m. last night, I'm like looking for things to do because I love what I do. And you guys, it's the same thing. But I was like, okay, it's time to wind down because I'm going to bed soon and I've got to get up tomorrow morning. So it is, I think the point is, it is possible to have a bunch of energy. It's not just when you're young. I know people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s who have incredible energy. Age, sure, I'm not going to say age isn't a factor because that wouldn't be fair, but age is not the determining factor in how much energy you have. And I believe that belief, and we're going to dive into all this, I'm sure, but the belief that I don't have energy because is a defeating belief because age has something to do with it, but hardly anything to do with it. It's those two things that we talked about before, physiology and the picture you're creating in your mind.
So I think there's a third thing to that. I would agree with the first two, but I think there's a third one that's huge. And that's other people. So I have a very high, like very high emotional intelligence and very high, like energy in the sense of like, I can feel other people's energy. And this is not even something I realized until pandemic, actually. I was like, why do I feel so happy every day? And I realized it was because I wasn't around just people who weren't, right? And even at a coffee shop, you inadvertently soak in people's energy. And some people are just, you know, they get that more than others. And, you know, it definitely affects your day, right? And it may not affect your day in the way that you had expected, because you don't necessarily know where it's coming from. But, you know, when I do events or when I even have a one-to-one with somebody, whether it's when it's virtual, it's different because the energy share is not the same as it is in person. But it can still, you know, ramp you up or take you down depending on the type of person that you just met. Right. And there is something to be said about who you surround yourself by. So whether it's your friends, your family, you know, your spouse, the people that you decide to choose to spend time with does make a huge difference in the amount of energy that you have. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes where like, you know, anytime I see like Brandon or Brian, like I'm always like ramped up after and I'm like, you know, even if I'm tired when we go into the meeting, like I feel like I had an energy boost, you know, during that time. And same thing with like events, like even if it's at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I'm super excited because I get to host this event. I got all these people coming there, you know, there's people I haven't met before and, you know, I get to be a part of that. Now there's a huge crash usually after said event is over, but it is something that is, I don't think counted enough. You know, people will hang around the same people because they've been friends for 20 years and like, oh, well, they're my best friend. And I'm like, but your friend doesn't even support you. Like that energy is going to be totally felt by you. And that could be a problem. That could affect you from moving on in whatever aspect of your life. When I use my divorce as a good example, you know, you don't really know how you get stuck in life until you're not stuck anymore. And it's not that I thought that I was ever stuck. You know, it's not that I wasn't moving up in my career or moving up in life. But when that break happened and I wasn't around that person anymore, it was like this whole other opportunity happened that I wasn't even aware of. And I'm like, well, what if everyone took the time to pay attention to that? Who are you spending time with on a regular basis? How is that energy vibe, right? Do you start doubting yourself when you talk to that person, or do they make you feel less about yourself? Even things that seem very insignificant, you know, someone makes a comment about your looks or like, oh, I would never do something like that. You know, how they say things is just like super condescending. That's going to absolutely affect you. I don't care. Like if you have Andrew energy, like that's still going to bring you down a few pegs. Right. And you may not want that. You may not want anyone ever putting you in that position. So, you know, really thinking about who you surround yourself by, I think is that third piece that's extremely important.
Well, and to look at the flip side of it, right? There's a phrase for those type of people that rob you of energy, right? Energy vampires, right? Where they just like, you know, just pull that right out of you, right?
Yep.
And you hit it on the head because the people that are energy vampires, right? They drain it and you feel exhausted and tired and everything's harder. But then there's those other people, the energy amplifiers, perhaps, that can crank up that energy, that can bring the energy level up. And sometimes it's exhausting to only hang out with amplifiers.
It totally is.
People need to hang out with me in like doses. but at the same time, you know, I'm not always like this. I'm not always like, yeah, bam, 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 boom, 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 right? Yeah. Where I have plenty of calm, peaceful, quiet, reflective moments, actually more quiet, peaceful, reflective moments than amped up moments, right? But for those moments where I am amped up, I tend to be around other people, right? Maybe some of that's personality, you know, some of that's just habit, right? I've in a sense trained that. And maybe we could talk about some training patterns that we can use to get more energy. So one thing that I did as a personal trainer was we made it so that as soon as people walked in to our gym, they were greeted. And it was with energy and enthusiasm and excitement. Even at 5 in the morning. Hey, what's going on, Ted? And like, people are just like, dude, too early. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather that than, hey, Ted. Hey, Andrew. You know what I mean? I'd rather them just be like blown away by energy at the gym than coming in and just kind of having a ho-hum, you know, let's kind of slowly get through the workout kind of a day. So, you know, some of that is just deciding. I'm going to decide that I'm going to be energetic. I'm choosing energy in this moment, knowing that maybe there's a trade-off later, right? Because I know at the end of every fitness type day, right, I'm walking 15, 20,000 steps in a day. Like, I'm pouring it out. Like, I went to bed early. I wanted to go to bed early, right? Because I'm tired. I've put out a lot. And so then there's the recovery side of energy as well. So a couple thoughts, couple threads I put out there. But yeah, we're kind of curious to see where the conversation goes now.
Yeah, I'm wondering, can I summarize and then kind of move into the out of the beaten path? And then I do have a question for you guys.
Let's do this.
Because we've tackled so many good things. There's the physiology. How much water are you drinking? Are you planning in sleep? Are you planning your day? Possibly, are you doing important tasks early? Are you gaining momentum? What Christine was saying was so important. What environment are you putting yourself in? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Like, what is your ecosystem of your life look like? And I know personally, like, I literally, I'm still more a mellow energy. People tell me all the time, like, Ben, I can't read you. You're like so zen. And it's like, it'll be a high stress situation and I'll just kind of have a blank stare because I'm just trying to process what I'm going to do next. Like, I am notoriously kind of just a mellow dude. And when I was younger, I notoriously did poor in school, had trouble paying attention, wasn't super energetic or focused. And so where I'm going slightly off the beaten path, but really my point is to be a scientist. And in a second, I want to hear kind of how you guys are scientists in your own life, because whether it's certain amount of sleep, the physiology, drinking water, like how much you do of what is going to depend on each person. I brought these to be fun. So, and to preface this, guys, so I took a gut test, and based on the gut test, I have 100% the cognitive function, 100% the gut of someone with high cognitive function. So according to my gut test, I'm like focused and energized and like high cognitive function, which is something that I struggled with my entire life. My mother has multiple sclerosis, very low cognitive function. And I learned through that I might possibly have a disposition to get that. So I'm like, what can I do to be a scientist, better myself? So one thing I do is nootropic medicine, to simplify, just brain medicine that make you better. Like, I've got a memory and focus. They're going to blur out. So no ads, but a memory and focus, Alpha Brain for memory and focus. I have Performance Lab multivitamin. I have a Mind Lab Pro multivitamin. I have a healthy gut supplement that is based around the biomes in my gut. So it's made based on what is in my system and works best for me. And if I do drink or have a long night, I have an essential daily hydration, like a liquid IV thing that I can pour in my water. It makes me pee a lot, but it basically flushes it all out. And my point here is somehow this kid who never imagined himself really amounting to anything got a 100 score on cognitive function based on a gut test. And it's about being a scientist. And in my life, it's supplementing in areas that possibly I am weaker in. And whether it's supplements or some completely different topic, I'm just curious for the group how you guys are kind of scientists in your own life and what works for you, what doesn't work, and anything beyond.
So I did 23andMe.
Okay,
and cool. I discovered that I am Italian. I am Native American. I'm 1% North African.
Oh.
Which is very interesting. 0.3% Asian. So I did that. That's the only test that I've done for myself so far. And it had no correlation to what we just discussed. I just wanted to answer your question. Throw that out there. I know what parts of the world I'm from, but I think that's very fascinating what you said about, one, you being curious about what your cognitive function was, because from the outside looking in, I would have ranked, and this is no offense to anyone here, I think we're all very intelligent individuals with high cognitive function, but I would say that yours was the highest out of this group here, Ben. And that's just the way that you communicate, the way you present it's yourself.
The drugs. It's the drugs, Brandon.
It's the alpha brain. But I found it interesting that you said that, one. But two, it's also interesting in the way that you described how and what energy means to you in your life. Because yes, you are not the explosive, we need to do this, good morning, it's great to see you. Like, you're not that zippy energy kind of person. But that tells me that we all channel energy differently. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we can then ask the question, well, then what is energy? What does energy mean? Because I've met some very fit, energetic people who didn't have the drive to do anything. So after we discuss like the way that we've been scientists, because I think that's a great question, I just don't have much to contribute there, I would like to discuss the correlation and maybe the differences between energy and drive, doing the things that we know we should do, eating the frog or doing the hard things first or prioritizing. But that 23andMe was my only self-experiment. I want to dive into more. I want to do like a blood test and get like testosterone levels and all those things, but I haven't gotten there yet.
And just a asterisk, being a scientist doesn't have to be scientific. It's observational data. How much sleep feels like the right amount? What environments light me up? What environments drain me? Doesn't have to be based on a 23andMe or a gut test. It can be based on just having an observation curiosity in your life. So I do want to asterisk that point.
Yeah. And I think all of these things scream self-awareness to me. You know, most people talk about or you know, complain, I would say is probably more accurate, on, you know, I don't have energy and I don't have time to be with my spouse. My kids are a pain. You know, work is crazy. Okay, great. Well, what are you going to do about it? Right? Like, so, you know, having those types of conversations with yourself, I think is extremely important. And, you know, some of these things that, you know, everybody else has kind of talked about, okay, well, let's start with the health side. Okay. Do you need to take a multivitamin? Do you need to drink more water? Do you need to increase, your activity level? Even if it's just 20 minutes a day, like, are you doing something to help with that? And some people just don't have a desire, right? And I think that kind of goes in line with how they execute on things, right? So Brandon was asking, how come you meet somebody who's super fit and highly energetic, but they have no motivation or drive to build a business or, you know, do those other things, but that's just not something that they have an interest in putting energy in. And I think that's something to evaluate also from a self-awareness perspective is, well, where do you want to spend your time? How do you want to spend the energy that you have? If you have an energy pie and it's 100% at the beginning of the day, well, how do you want to spend that? Do you want to spend that just only exercising and putting back into your family and your 9-to-5 job? If that's how it is for you, great. But if that doesn't give you like I look at it as like you charge your battery. Like there's ways to charge your battery throughout the day. Whether it's you're around somebody who could be that energetic, right? You have like Andrew was talking about the energy vampires, but I think sometimes energy vampires need somebody that has energy because there has to be a swap, right? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, sometimes we might be like that and not realize it, to have like that trade-off. I don't know if you've ever seen, like there's little comics that will do that sometimes. So like come up with like an illustration of like, hey, sometimes that one big energy person needs to help fill people up throughout the day. And then they find somebody else to fill them up at the end of the day. So I think thinking about how you want to spend your energy, how you want to split up that pie. And it's not the same every day. Like it's never going to be the same every day. You might wake up and feel a lot more tired today because maybe you didn't sleep well. You might be in bed for 8 hours, but you got up for 2 or whatever the situation is. You know, so having that full evaluation, I think is just really important to figure out how best to disperse and where your drive's going to go to.
For sure. And I think, you know, to what Ben's talking about, the scientist mode, figuring yourself out, just observing, understanding. Some of that's just going to be reps, just going through it and testing and experimenting and actually paying attention to the experiment itself. Because, you know, there's plenty of people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that have no clue about themselves or their bodies. And it's not that they haven't had enough time, right? It's that they haven't had enough attention. They haven't given enough focus. And so first thing I would say is, if you are struggling with the energy in your life, pay attention to those times where you have great energy. What is that? What caused that to happen? Why are you so energetic right now? Are you around the right kind of people? Did you have a great night's sleep? Did you have food that was really good for you? Did you not have the things that are really bad for you, right? What is the equation there, right? I found for me, I don't drink alcohol. And I found energy, it was personal-wise was the decision, but I found energy-wise was really helpful because in a lot of ways, I'm borrowing happiness from the next day and I'm borrowing energy from the next day also, right? Because I'm waking up, instead of waking up like at 100%, I'm waking up at 80% and I'm starting my day there. And it's only going to go down. So my encouragement is notice those times where you are at your best energy and then kind of backlog it, backtrack it. What caused me to get there? Why was I at my best energy? For me personally, I found I'm at my best energy when I'm around other people that are at the very least close to alignment with me in certain areas. We think the same way, or we're up to the same thing, we're headed the same direction, right? If you put me in a group of people that is very much not like me or very much thinks differently or, you know, don't have anything in common, like it's going to be tough for me to match energy or to bring energy up with that type of a group, right? But where we have some commonality, where we are headed that same direction, where we're thinking the same or we're engaged in that same activity, that for me is energizing. It's fun. It's exciting. I'm the type of person that loves getting up in front of people, loves talking, loves communicating, loves having deep conversations. And to me, that is energizing. But at the same time, it does cost energy, right? Because if I am up in front and I am speaking, the longer that speaking engagement is, the more tired I'm going to be at the end of that day, right? Like it's a very close correlation for me, right? So if I have a lot going on as far as giving energy, I have a lot of recovery that I have to do on that back end, right? So that's just kind of one thing that popped up for me as far as being a scientist.
So I'm glad you put that asterisk next to the question, Ben, because you made me think as everyone else was talking too. There's one thing alone that I contribute to my levels of energy in my life, as well as to my own level of fitness at the same time. This will not be for everyone. Just like Ben said, we're not giving energy advice, even though we are. I am not going to be giving you fitness advice here, even though in a way I am. One thing that's helped me, two words, intermittent fasting. Hmm. Intermittent fasting. Andrew, I'm sure you know all about this. Christine, I know we talked about this before too. Again, it's not for everyone. It does work differently in men's bodies and female bodies. Again, I'm no scientist there. All I know is what works for me, so I'll share that. I started going to the gym. That's how I made the biggest physical changes in my life. But at the same time, I started doing intermittent fasting. And when you think about a question I post to everyone listening is, when would you say your energy begins to wane throughout the day? When does it start to dissipate? When do you start to say, I don't really feel like doing this. I've already done this today. I've done this. When do you get to that threshold point of you don't want to do? For me, it's when I eat more food, right? Whenever I eat food directly afterwards is when I'm like, all right, I want to take a quick break. I want to sit down for a few minutes. When you eat food, the number one use of energy in our body as human beings is digestion. The number one use of energy. And a question I pose to you again is, when do you eat your first meal after you wake up? Some people, just like I used to wake up and eat eggs, bacon, bagel, whatever it might be. I used to get breakfast before I went to school and I'd be burping up. I'd have acid reflux. Even today, if I have breakfast, I'll be burping it up throughout the day, which is really weird because if I waited a few more hours to eat, I wouldn't be burping up that same exact thing. Not to get gross here, but I'm sure that some of you guys can relate to this.
It's literally the biggest struggle in Jewish culture. It's bagel in the morning, every morning.
Yeah. No, dude, when I eat a bagel, as an example, if I eat a bagel at 9 a.m., I'll burp it up until 5 p.m. If I wait until noon to eat that bagel, I won't burp it up. It's the strangest thing, but it's not strange. It's science. It's fact. When you break your fast, your body is now in digesting mode, right? So that's why they call it breakfast, break fast. But think about this. Let's say you stop, you eat your last meal at 7 p.m. Right? I'm not really great at math, so I'm not going to get into the hours here. But there's a few different ways that you can do this idea of fasting. It's not just the absence of food. It's the absence of food for a very specific set of hours. It's an eating window. It gives your time It gives your body time to repair itself. It gives your body time to produce growth hormone. It gives your body time to do all the things your body wants to do when it's not digesting food. But so many of us are constantly digesting food. So immediately, 40 to 60% or more of your energy is going towards digesting constantly. Your organs are always in use, always in use. Your body doesn't have time to repair. Your body doesn't have time to produce that growth hormone. So you feel sluggish. You feel like you've got acid reflux. You feel all these things. My advice to you would be try playing around with that eating window. As an example, I eat between the hours of noon and 8 p.m., which means for 16 hours, the other part of the day, including when I sleep, I'm not eating anything. So my body has 16 hours that it can repair and digest the rest of that food and process and get ready for the next day. Because let me tell you, when you feel most focused is when your body is not digesting food. I've never met a human being who said, I am most focused after I eat a giant meal. I've never met that person, right? And certain foods act different. Fruits act differently than a full breakfast. Fruits digest differently, and that is a fact. And there's so many books you can read on this. I learned these principles from a program called Keno Body. It's by a guy named Greg O'Gallagher. He started talking about intermittent fasting before it was mainstream. This is a very mainstream thing. So speaking to the testing of things to see how you feel, play around with that eating window. My mom started doing this. She's in her 50s. She looks and feels amazing. She looks like she's like in her late 30s, early 40s. And she only started doing that within the last year because she started doing intermittent fasting. But again, it doesn't work the same way for all people. You've really got to test it and play around with your own body and see what works for you.
I love that. As a personal trainer, that's one of the best explanations of it I've heard. So that's very well done. As a non-industry
this
professional.
This is not fitness advice.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
Important on that, and I've had arguments with people close in my life about this, is if you want to have a glass of wine, if you want to have chocolate, something small for your dessert, that's actually going to destroy your fasting window. So part of why Andrew probably has so much energy is because he's not consuming alcohol, which allows his body to digest without, because again, you could stop eating at 8, but if you have a drink at 2 in the morning, what happened to your fast? So
one thing to think about too is kind of Brandon talked about, you know, your energy consumption when you've eaten goes to taking care of that food, right? When you add alcohol to that mix, alcohol becomes the new number one focus for your body. Mm. Taking care of that toxin, in a sense, is your body's top priority. And it's kind of, in a sense, puts digestion in a little bit of a limbo state a lot of times. And so, especially if you're having a high quantity of alcohol. So, you know, in a sense, you're kind of just delaying or paralyzing your actual digestive process until that alcohol can get taken care of, right? And kind of feeding into that same window, right? All of a sudden, now it's escalating the amount of time that your body's working on processing stuff. And I want to bring up another thing that I think is really interesting, because we're talking about what we're consuming, is, you know, the types of food matter a lot too, right? If I'm having a lot of simple carbohydrates throughout my day, I'm going to go through a lot of these peaks and valleys, high and low.
What are those, Andrew? What are simple carbohydrates?
So yeah, talking about simple carbohydrates, right? Bagels. Right? Like I just brought up, right? Pasta is another one. Soda. Anything where your body can start digesting it immediately. Something a lot of people don't know is your tongue and your mouth, the saliva in there, actually has enzymes in it. And it's the start of the digestive process. So it actually starts digesting starchy type foods immediately. So, which is kind of gross. What you can do, an experiment, you can actually like spit on something, and you can actually look at it later. And for like bread, as an example, you can see it'll actually be a little bit broken down. It'll turn into a little bit of a paste because the enzymes are actually kind of breaking that down a bit. So, you know, as we're consuming food, the types of food matter a lot, right? So if we're just bringing in all these simple carbohydrates, right, when our body digests those, right, it breaks them down into their simple component parts, which is, in a sense, sugar. We'll call it sugar. Okay. And then you have the sugar that goes into your body. Okay. Well, when we eat, it goes into our stomach, gets broken down a bit, goes into our intestines, and there's this permeable layer in our intestines, and it moves through that. It becomes a part of our body, right? Gross to think about, but everything you eat is not with you. You get to keep it. Right. And it has to get somewhere, has to go somewhere. Right. And it goes into our transport system. It goes into our blood. Okay. And it gets there in some form of sugar. And then our blood transports that somewhere, right? And it for simple carbohydrates as the example. And when we have that influx of sugar into our blood, we raise our blood sugar level. We've heard of this, right? So diabetics in a lot of senses struggle with this. So when our blood sugar goes up, our body responds with other hormones. And we've heard of the hormone that responds to that. It's called insulin. Mm-hmm. So as our blood sugar goes up, our body responds by putting out some insulin. And what that insulin does is it tells our body, hey, all this sugar that's flowing through our transport system, that's flowing through our blood, we need to send it somewhere. Right. Mm-hmm. So insulin is like the traffic director. It says, hey, I'm going to find this sugar molecule. Come with me. I'm going to put you in jail. Right. I'm going to add you to a fat cell. Let's go over there. Let's go hang out. Right? And I'll say, hey, you know, these muscle cells over here are empty. You know, they need to get filled back up again. Right. Let's go over here. Right. Another pro for exercise is you're emptying out some of your sugar storage. So the insulin battle that happens for a lot of people is the kind of up and down of carbohydrates throughout a day. Right, is if we're having a lot of simple carbohydrates, we're going to have these insulin spikes. And what happens a lot of times is as that sugar level goes up, our insulin goes up to match it, and it will peak, it'll spike. And then eventually our sugar level drops, but that insulin level tends to still rise in comparison. And so then we have that crash. We have that low that comes afterwards because we overshot. We had too much insulin come out, and it overcompensated. And now we have not enough blood sugar, and we're too tired, and it's 3 p.m., and I don't want to talk to anybody. That's where some of that comes from, based on the type of food that you're eating.
So let me tell you, just based on that, we talk, and this will take like 15 seconds. We're talking about what we can add, what we can change. At the same time, let's talk about what we can eliminate from both our bodies as well as maybe even our schedule to have more energy. And let me tell you, I know myself, I know my body. I do test this every year or so. I say, I wonder if my body reacts the same way to this. And I'll get a large caramel swirl iced coffee, light and sweet is the order. I'll go to Dunkin', I'll get that. I used to drink it in high school before class every day. And I was literally the skinny kid in high school, junior and senior year. Nowadays, not so much. If I even drink three of those a week, out of the 7 days, 3 days, I drink a large caramel swirl iced coffee, light and sweet. Or if you're drinking a mocha schmocha latte or whatever you're drinking, I will blow up. I will lose energy. I will feel really weird because what's happening in my body is what Andrew so expertly just said about sugar and insulin and all those things. So again, test what works for you. But if we're talking eliminating, it might sound difficult. I remember I was training a new hire class of salespeople, 20 salespeople. And there was this guy at the back of the class. His name was Dave. Great, great guy. He had next to him at the beginning of each day, I think I might have told this story, I'm sorry if I did, but he literally had four energy drinks next to him throughout the day. Literally four. And as the day went on, he'd crack one open, drink it, crack the next one, drink it, crack the next one. And I'm talking like Monster, Red Bull, like it wasn't like Bang, which still probably isn't that great, but these are even worse. And he would just drink these all day. And I'm like, hey, man, have you ever thought of like an alternative to those? And he's like what? And I said, well, have you ever heard of sparkling water? I said, you know, it doesn't have sugar. It doesn't have all these other things. And he's like, what's sparkling water? I was Softy. Like, are you kidding me? He's like, no. I said, dude, it's like soda, but like without all the bad stuff. And he's like, I've never heard of that. He comes in the next day and he's got four sparkling waters next to him. He went the rest of the week with no energy drinks, no soda, no anything except for this carbonated water. So for those listening who also are like Dave and do not know that exists, it does. There's many different brands of it. LaCroix, your local store probably has their own brand, but try substituting even just one of those sodas or mocha schmocha lattes, maybe eventually wane down on the sugar. So eventually you're drinking a black coffee. I'm holding an empty cup for those watching, but it did have black coffee in it at the beginning of this conversation. But substitute with something that will be better for you and your well-being that will cause you to feel even better in the long term, even though in the short term it might be difficult.
And mic drop.
well, I like Atik just Atik Ahmad just wrote, thanks for talking about diabetics. So Andrew, I'm sure what you said definitely hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. Well, and to parlay that, right? So that's a typical system, right? Where diabetics run into trouble is they don't release insulin, or when their body does release insulin, their body doesn't do anything. So called insulin resistance. So type 1, type 2 diabetes are a little bit different. So they kind of battle that differently, but they have trouble with insulin. And so eventually that blood sugar just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up, and that can cause blindness. It can cause all sorts of other problems, organ failures, all sorts of really, really awful stuff. And so, yeah, really, really critical that we're understanding that there's consequences for our actions internally, right? And understand that, you know, like, oh, I'll just take a pill. That'll fix it. You know, typically any pill that you take is some sort of hormone. And hormones typically serve multiple roles. They do a couple different things within the body. And so if you take an extra hormone, you take an extra thing to fix something, more than likely it's going to start messing up something else somewhere else, right? That's why they say a lot of times by the time you get to 5 different medications, you've got enough side effects that it's probably canceling out any of the benefits that they would be giving you, right? Because so much of our body is interdependent on each other. And a lot of that really comes down to the inputs that we're giving it.
Last thing I'm going to say before I stop talking is, again, very controversial. A lot of people are taking medications to give them something that they believe they can only receive from those medications.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying stop your medications, because that's not what I'm here to say. I'm not a doctor. What I am saying is try some of these other alternatives before you resort to a pill to help yourself feel a certain way. Try monitoring your sugar. Like one of the leaders I work with literally is like, he's one of the top power lifters in the world. He was my original mentor, Keith. He literally told me the other day, because I was drinking a pomegranate juice, and he's like, how much sugar is in that? And I'm like looking at, he's like, let me guess, 35 grams. And I look at it and I'm like, 36 grams.
Oh, pretty close.
And he's like, do you know how much sugar that is? I said, well, isn't there good sugars too? And he's like, no.
Not that.
He's like, definitely not that. And I'm telling you, I've been drinking this stuff like maybe a couple a week, and they don't do the same thing a Mocha Schmocha would, but apparently they do something. And he's like, I challenge you to start logging your sugar in like MyFitnessPal or something and see how much sugar you're consuming. He's like, because my daily sugar is less than that of that pomegranate juice you're drinking. And it blew my mind. But then I think about all these people who think to themselves, I have an energy problem. I need to supplement this with a doctor. And then Big Pharma comes in, and hopefully this doesn't remove our episode from wherever it goes, but Big Pharma comes in saying, you need this, you need that. Literally the TV was on the other day at my in-law's house, and every commercial was a pharmaceutical commercial. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was sick. Like, I literally got sick to my stomach. And sorry to hijack this conversation with this, but I think it's important. Why do you think they put pictures of smiling, happy people on those pharmaceutical ads with, like, if you go to the music website and you type in, I want a happy, energetic song, they put that in the background while they're listing off all the different side effects you're going to get from this medication.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, before you put these substances into your body, try what we're talking about here. Try the intentional movement. Look at the eating window. Look at when you're eating. Look at what you're drinking. Maybe like what Ben said, at 2 a.m., you might be drinking a glass of wine. Just look at what you're doing and ask yourself, is this adding to my pools of energy the next day, or is it diminishing my energy?
I want to add a quick stat and then I'll give it up too. But you know, 35 grams of sugar, right? Oh, grams. Okay. What does that even mean, right? That's almost 8.5 teaspoons of sugar. Imagine scoop one, scoop.
I don't want to know, Andrew. Three, stop
scoop,
it.
Four, scoop five, scoop six, scoop seven, scoop eight. Right? You just added 8 of those teaspoons of sugar to a beverage and then mixing it all up and then drinking it. Isn't that wild to think about? Anyway, I'll get off.
So I like that we're a little controversial right now. And this is, I don't have a PhD in this stuff. That's my. Like, I'm not here to say I'm an expert on this kind of stuff.
But you do have high cognitive function.
I do have very high cognitive
function. You probably have the best gut out of all of us.
Man. And I have a gut feeling that those commercials, what they're doing, there's a term called creating a gap. And they're creating a gap from where you are to where you want to be. And the solution to bridge that gap is their medication. I think that it, before something's prescribed, this is how I just philosophically would do it. How much time do you spend outside? How much time do you spend in sunlight? When's the last time you did an exercise that got your heart pumping and your blood flowing? When's the last time you journaled? When's the last time you had touch in your life? It doesn't have to be sexual touch, just a loving hug. What do your social relationships look like? And those questions often will present solutions that are far more powerful than that medication. And that's with me stepping back to realize that there are, for example, my mother has she passed away, but she had multiple sclerosis. That can't solve that issue. It can make it better, but you can't solve multiple sclerosis, some sort of manic depressions. You can't just solve it by starting a journal. But if you're temperamentally depressed or temperamentally low energy, some of that inner work will actually be a easier solution that's more long-term sustainable, that you won't burn out. Because one thing I commonly hear, ADHD medication, for example, is someone has all this energy and they're all over the place, and then they take the medication and they feel like all their creativity's been suppressed. There's like a joke in comedy that the moment you get out of depression, you have nothing funny to talk about. And it's like, sometimes these meds possibly can null what actually is going on. And then asking ourselves these internal questions, going back to being a scientist, because the doctor on the other side of the table does know a million more things than all of us and you do, but you know yourself and your body. And if you can ask those questions again, how much sunlight am I getting? How much exercise am I getting? What social relationships? Am I drinking enough water? Am I drinking pomegranate juice every single day? Questions like that might lead to a better answer. And hopefully we don't get flagged for incorrect advice here, but that's just my philosophy on this.
Just remember too, for everyone listening, that doctors, 99% of them are really, really great people.
They are.
But it doesn't mean that they know what's best for you and your health. It simply means they have an opinion, right? They've gone to school, they know their stuff. The only person who will prioritize your health at the level that it needs to be is you. That's it. You'll go to a doctor. You'll go to John the doctor down the road. He helps everyone in your town. And John the doctor, without realizing it, is prescribing people with something he thinks is going to help that actually has a kickback for John the doctor's practice. So all I'm saying is, when you're getting this advice, maybe even get 2 to 3 different opinions from 2 to 3 different doctors or professionals. And remember, no one's going to prioritize or care about your health and energy as much as you yourself. So you really just can't take what they say with a grain of salt. You got to do your own research at the same time. Very important.
And John the doctor might have gotten diagnosed with something at a young age, and they feel like it just is this way. Mm. And their paradigm doesn't allow them to see beyond what they've been through, which is no knock against John, but there might be a different way that's outside of their personal life story. And there's millions of stories of people just defeating all odds. You're never going to walk again, running a mile. Like, if people can defeat odds, why can't you be that person?
Yeah. So I'd like to transition away from some of the health stuff for a second to discuss so how to get some energy back. So outside of the health side of things, I wanted to share, and I had mentioned this before we jumped on this call, you know, how to regain energy from things that we have to do all the time. So kind of going into the delegation aspect of things. So like one of the things that I made a point to start last year was, okay, what are the mundane tasks that I can break away from that I don't need to spend energy on, because that's not where my energy is best utilized. So something as simple as either hiring out somebody on Fiverr to pull data, or somebody else to send out packages for me, or somebody to come clean my house. It's not that I'm not capable. It's not that I can't do those things. It's that, is that the best use of my energy? And I found, you know, in delegating out properly, especially for something as simple as, you know, having somebody come clean my house, not even every week, just twice a month, it made such a huge difference on my mental health. Like coming home and knowing that she had been there, because I would always kind of clean before she came too. So there was all that kind of battle. But You know, just having like, okay, I know this is completed and it wasn't on my plate or my spouse's plate. It was just something that I got done that I know needs to get done. And she does it the way that I need it. So I don't have to think about it again. I don't have to worry about it again. And same thing with like meal planning. So I'm assuming probably you guys do some sort of meal planning, right? So every Sunday we kind of plan out, you know, our menu for the week. We usually do that a few days in advance, but Sunday I'll make some sort of bigger meal that allows for lunch and dinners the rest of the week. And it's just amazing. Like, oh, I don't have to worry about like what I'm making for dinner because it's already done. I don't have to spend energy figuring out what's in my cupboard or what's in my fridge. It's already done, right? And I think for people out there who have, you know, they have families, they have kids, everyone's on a different schedule. You know, thinking about those things that cause an issue, right? Like just the act of going to the grocery store. Like I started doing Instacart and like I haven't really looked back because of the fact that I can do that during my workday, gradually throughout the week, right? I can add to my list and then have somebody drop it. Everything off. And if it's wrong, I get my money back. Right. So I can't even do that if I do it wrong. Cause usually I'm like, I'm not going back. Like, well, I guess I got the wrong, you know, I got the wrong thing. That's going to sit in my cupboard for the next 5 years. And it's just one less thing that I have to spend energy. That it's not that I feel it's being wasted. It's just not being utilized the way it should be. So question to all three of you, and, you know, obviously our audience as well is, you know, what are you doing to delegate out things that maybe zap your energy or things that you just have to do that maybe you shouldn't be doing anymore?
Mowing the lawn.
Ooh.
Let me tell you, there's
12-year-old son. That's what my dad did.
Yeah. Listen, man, when I talk to people, a lot of people, like 80%. Not people who are like in our space because we get this, but normal everyday people, they think it is astounding that I hire someone over to do our lawn that would only take me 30 to 45 minutes to do, because they say, well, why don't you just do it on your own? Save the $40. Well, I would rather pay the $40 and save, let's say, a total hour of the prep and the doing and the cleaning. And that $40 for an hour now allows me to go make $100 in that hour or more, depending on whatever we're all making, right? But as soon as you're at that level where you're making more than $40 an hour, you should never do your lawn again, because you could either go make more money, you could either go spend more time with your son, your daughter, your family, someone, you could go watch a movie, you could do something that you want to do, because it's not just the money, but it's like what you said, Christine, the energy of going out there sweating. It can be fun. Listen, if it's a therapeutic exercise for you to go do the lawn, and I know that those people exist because my brother-in-law is one of them, he could be a quadrillionaire and still mow his lawn and stand by that. But let me tell you, 99% of people are not like him. And mowing the lawn is just one great example. Mowing the lawn, doing your hair, right? That could be something. Beard, I go see a barber for my beard. People look at me so strangely in the barber shop because I'm a bald dude and they're like, what is he doing in here? And then I get my beard done because I don't want to do it myself because of time, but also I want to look fresh. So many different things. Like, let me tell you, the biggest thing that happened for me in my podcast is when I gave the editing to someone now on my team who edits all of our podcasts. His name is Errol. He does all the editing. He does all the clips. He does everything that has to do with all the things that I don't like to do. Because when I was doing the editing, I would spend 2 hours on like a normal video project. And at the end of it, I wouldn't want to do anything else. I wouldn't want to promote it. I wouldn't want to share it because I just got done doing all the mundane things. But listen, at the beginning, I had to do that. But eventually I asked myself the same question you did, Christine, which I pose to everyone again. What are the small mundane things that you think you might have to do that are actually outside of your zone of genius that are robbing you of your sanity and your energy? For me, editing was one of those. Mowing the lawn was another. What do you guys think?
You're nailing all of mine. I do mow my own lawn, but the way I justify it is I have a podcast in my ears when I'm doing it. But you guys are nailing mine. Like today, for example, I get my lunches from a place called Project Lean Nation. It's ready to go, ready to heat up. Yes, it's more expensive than if I had done the shopping, but it takes me 5 minutes to heat up. I don't have to chop anything up. I don't have to organize it. I just toss in the microwave and I know it's healthy and good to go. For dinner, I have food in the crock pot right now. So it took me about 5 minutes to prepare first thing in the morning, chop up my veggies, toss some chicken in there. Boom, that's ready to go. And when it comes to, again, like delegation, and we don't have much time to go on too much of a tangent. Maybe once we already missed C, so maybe we'll do it on G, Chat GPT, because I know everybody's talking about AI. But to use one example for GPT and tie it into your videos, Brandon, is if you have a transcript, especially, or if you have bullet points, you can take that transcript, those bullet points, or just type in an idea and write something like, write 10 clickbait headings using this transcript, or write 10 clickbait headings using these bullet points. And then it'll spit out 10 headings based on what the AI determines is a good heading. And you can always rewrite it. You can always be like, rewrite, make more concise, change this, change that. So it's outsourcing some of the thinking power, but still giving you creative control to update. Another small example, and this isn't AI, is I have a show notes writer, similar to how you have a video editor. And I'll be transparent. He is not the best writer in the world, but he's brilliant at organizing the show notes based on topics. And then it takes me about 3 to 5 minutes to reread what he wrote and rewrite it as the human that actually had the hour-long conversation, add my spice to it. But rather than me spending 4 hours slowly going through and writing the show notes, I outsource the organization. Then I can still add creative bend to it. So you don't have to outsource an entire task if you're slightly a control freak like me, but you can outsource the mundane parts, the parts that don't light you up, and then add your creative spin at the end. That's my thought on that.
To go off of that real quick before we wrap up, the description for this live broadcast, guys, if you go read it right now, that was written by ChatGPT. It's the first one we've done for the lunch break. It was written in 5 seconds, and it's the same exact thing that one of us would have written. We took it, we structured it nicely. We did change some words to make it more human, but that's why start with a blank slate when you could start with something that's 80% there. And then, like you said, add your spice to it to bring it to its full potential. So I think what might be best served for the last minute here is if each of us go around and if we had to share one thing that will help someone, if they take each of these 4 things we're going to share and put them together, it'll create a nice little cocktail recipe for more energy. The one thing that I would give is revisiting what we talked about. Make it an intention and a priority to move your body for at least 20 minutes a day, whether it's a walk outside in the sunlight, go to the gym, do the elliptical, lift, something where you're intentionally moving. I know that will help you.
Beautiful. I'll go next. So I would say pay attention to what your inputs are doing to you. Okay. So inputs could be stimulus from your environment, could be the food that you're eating, and it could be the work that you're doing, right? But pay attention to those things that are coming in, and then just kind of notice what's going well, what's not going well, and just try and do more of the stuff that goes well.
I would add to delegate. Get rid of the tasks that you don't like, that you don't want to spend the energy on. You spend way too much energy on because you're like, I don't want to do this. Delegate.
So these are all great physiology. So for fun, do it at home. We'll do it here. What does a low energy state look like? What does it look like? It's like, for me, it's like my shoulders slump, my head, my eyeballs go down, my eyeballs start to close, my eyelids close, I start to nod out. Maybe if you feel low energy, if you have sunlight, that's even better. But open up your posture, open body language, look up at the sky. Open the eyelids, because if your eyelids are low and drooping, you're going to feel physiologically tireder. But if you look up, you get possibly sunlight and you look up at the sky, that will actually change the neurology of your body in that moment. You can't get more sleep or change what you ate, but you can make a physiological change in that moment. And if I were to add something to that, maybe add a visualization of like, I'm going to go crush this, I got this, something like that to that. And I'll stop there.
Awesome. Great tips. I hope you guys got a ton out of this Lunch Break ABC's episode, all about energy. You decided the topic, just like you're going to do for our next episode, our sixth episode. Be on the lookout for one of our posts with a poll so you can choose what letter of ABCDE, F is the next letter. We're going to have like four words. I have to do that every time. I can't just go right to it.
Can't wait till we get further into the alphabet.
I was surprised you knew it was the fifth. I had to go A, B, C, D, E, F. Oh.
So we'll have a list of four words that start with F. Let your imagination go there. That's fine. It might be one of the words. And you'll get to choose. And that'll be our next topic. Thanks so much for watching and joining us. And yeah, it was great seeing you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure.